This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Let me just pull the book up. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. إن شاء الله تعالى in this coming weeks we will be studying a very unique book which is a letter that Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah wrote as a wasiyah, as a reminder, as advice. As an advice to someone who asked him a question, then he replied to him. And Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is known to all of you. He's a scholar who lived in the 7th century and died in the early 8th century, died in 728 Hijri, and he was born rahimahullah in 661 Hijri. Ibn Taymiyyah, I'm not going to talk about Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and his biography and his life, because this is something that required a special class and special talk. And I'm sure you guys are very familiar with his life rahimahullah ta'ala. But what I would like to say that Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, you will get to know him more as you read his book more. When you read his books and his works, you will get to know about Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah so much.
Yeah, we can't hear the sheikh.
Yeah, I thought it was just me. He's just gone. I think he's gone offline.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, alhamdulillah, we can. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, so I was saying earlier about Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala that he is encyclopedia, a scholar who have not only excel in madhab al-hanabila, which is enough knowledge, but also he was rahimahullah, he understand the other madhab as well. Not that he understood the madhab of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, he actually understood the madhab of Ahlul Kalam and the deviant sects to the extent some of them said, Wallahi innahu a'lamu bi madhahibina minna. We admit that he was he knows our madahib better than us. Yani he knows us, what our school of fiqh or theology or whatever, better than us. And he was also not a person who, not only he knows how he understands knowledge well, he knows also how to express knowledge very well. And he not only expressed knowledge in one way. No, he expressed his knowledge in writing and in teaching and in debating. And these three different skills, each one of them is very different than the other and required a set of skills that it is not a common to be exist in one person. Not only that, but his rahimahullah understand spirituality very well. And he was a person of spirituality, a person of yani, very soft heart, and an avid worshiper. An avid worshiper. Like when you hear that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah stay until midday, only making dhikr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and making dhikr and dua and istighfar. Then after that he start. And he said, this is like my breakfast, like my or my lunch. Without it, I can't survive. Without this meal, I can't basically finish my day. So he was not someone also who was, rahimahullah, just involved in ilm or just in ibadah, but both in intellect and also in spirituality. A person who made so many jihad and so many stories about al-amr al-ma'ruf wa nahy al-munkar. And nasiha and interacting with people, you know, Muslim, non-Muslims, you name it. Not only that, but also languages, other knowledge and science. He studied, he knows about, you see, when you read his books, you know him very, you start knowing him well. When he speaks about different types, especially when it comes to philosophy and the Greek philosopher, Roman philosopher, Hindu philosophers, and their ideologies and where they're coming from, to the extent that he himself said that I want to read about Latin and Greek philosophers. So I learned Latin and I read their book with their mother tongue and I debated them with their tongue too. He learned Hebrew to be able to understand the Old Testament and read it with Hebrew. Rahimahullah, he said, I learned it in 6 months. And many other things like that that make you just stand in front of a giant and an incredible scholar, rahimahullah ta'ala. And that's why when a man like this will write an advice, will write a reminder, will give you an advice, it becomes so valuable and so important, especially in the area where he specialized in. Yani, an MBA program, in the in businesses, these big universities proud of bringing very successful businessmen and women to come to give lectures or to speak about their success. That's right, as an expert in matter, and that's what make these programs. Very valuable, this university, university so-and-so, they got the CEO of Apple to give a talk or to teach a course or School of Economic brought this professors who was blah, 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 or Harvard expert university. You always get the value of this university by the caliber of the people who speak or the people who give advice. And the students will be very smart, talented, because of this kind of exposure to the work of experts. So what about someone who's like Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, who I just point out just very few things to think about to understand how of a great scholar this man was rahimahullah ta'ala. I hope that you will enjoy this book and you will enjoy this reminder. And not only to enjoy it, but also to benefit from it, as he will tell you how in the beginning of his advice and his letter, rahimahullah ta'ala. This book, published and explained by many scholars over the years, many ulama cares to teach their students this book and to read this book because of that value of it, because of that concept of that letter, because of what it focus on, because how practical it is, and unique subject or subjects actually in that letter, rahimahullah ta'ala, as he wrote to someone who asked for an advice. It's known as al-wasiyyah al-sughra. And I think in your binder, you know, or the binder, it's printed as concise legacy. Concise legacy. I'm not sure about the word concise legacy. Concise as a surah is the best way to translate that, but I will leave this to you. But what I want to say that Ibn Taymiyyah did not call it a surah, concise or anything of that nature, rahimahullahu ta'ala. But Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he didn't give it a name, it's just a letter. And this letter was read in front of him and he approved it, rahimahullah, before it was sent and copied and shared. And it's nothing private in it for that particular person. So it was shared for people to benefit from it. Al-wasiyyah, it means a reminder, okay? Al-wasiyyah usually refer to something valuable. That's why we call al-wasiyyah, it is the will that you leave for your family. You call it wasiyyah. So anything valuable, you put it in that will. You didn't say in your wasiyyah, by the way, I have three pair of socks I'm leaving behind. You don't do that, okay? But you put the thing of value. So al-wasiyyah usually related to something very valuable. And al-wasiyyah, when it comes to death, that's something different than the will that you leave behind you upon death. That's something that you study in the books of fiqh, and any will in sharia contain 5 points, as you might know by studying that fiqh of death and the fiqh of al-wasiyyah, which is the will. But the al-wasiyyah here, it means a reminder, it means advice, it means admonition, which is words al-maw'idah, al-tadhkirah, al-nasihah, al-tawasi. Allah says in the Quran, tawasaw bil-haq wa tawasaw bil-sabr. Yani they remind one another, they help one another, they encourage one another. Okay, so al-wasiyyah, it is basically an advice or a valuable information that you pass it to someone. شرع لكم من الدين ما وصى به نوحا. Allah have ordained for you from the religion what he have made as a wasiyyah to Nuh. Wasiyyah to Nuh, it's not a well, astaghfirullah. No, it means as a valuable information, a valuable nasiha, advice that it was given to Nuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, والذي أوحينا إيش والذي أوحينا إليك وما وصينا به. That's that what we revealed to you and what we advise you with. وما وصينا به. Advise who? إبراهيم وموسى وعيسى أن أقيموا الدين أن أقيموا الدين ولا تتفرقوا فيه. That advice was given to Ibrahim and Musa and Isa, that establish the religion and don't be divided. Don't differ. Don't dispute. Don't have a dispute over the religion. Allah says in the Quran, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. We have advised. We have reminded. We have, we're giving it, there's an admonition for mankind to be good to their parents. Also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ad-deen al-nasiha." The religion is al-nasiha. So, al-wasiya, giving an advice, writing an advice, giving a reminder, you know, passing information that's important to people that you think they will benefit from it, it is in the heart of the religion. Ad-deen al-nasiha. Religion is nothing but an advice. Like in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-Hajj Arafah. Al-Hajj is Arafah, which it means it's the heart of the Hajj, the main, the backbone of that Hajj. Okay, like the backbone of the rules and the act of worship is Arkan al-Islam, Amuduha al-Salat, which is al-Salat, the most important one in it. And Allah said, Wadhakkir in nafa'ati dhikra. Remind when you think the reminder is, or when you know that reminder will be beneficial. فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. You're a person who gives a reminder. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that only about the kafirin, لَا تُحِبُّونَ النَّاصِحِينَ. They don't like the one who advise. So from this, we understand that the word wasiyah, who you hear, it is equal to other words that the Sharia have used. Al-Nasiha, Al-Maw'idah, admonition, advise, a reminder, Al-Tadhkira, Al-Tawasi, helping one another by encouraging one another, and so forth. So this is something that it is very well established in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as well as in the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to remind people, and Ibn Abbas used to remind people, and to write to his friends. And I'm saying this because I hope that reading this book will encourage us to apply not only the content of this wasiyah and this nasiha and this letter in our life, but also the concept of seeking a advice and giving appropriate advice to people, that this is something that is well needed in our life today, well needed and so much needed in a time where people are weak, when fitan are strong, you know, where mistakes are done. And instead of just talking and backbite and speaking about it in social media, there is something called nasiha, wasiya, a tadhkira. And al-wasiyah could be a correction. You correct something wrong, or it could be an without you asking even. It's not about I saw something wrong in you and I'm trying to correct it. No, I'm trying to give you an advice that's something that will help you in the future. Kan ibn Mas'ud yatakhawwaruna bil maw'idha khashyat as-sa'ama. Kan ibn Mas'ud, he gives every Thursday a reminder, an admonition, so we will not be bored. And also, so it will be effective if every time you see your kids, every time you see them, I have an advice for you, son. Khalas, the Bahtani, you're killing me, man. Take it easy. Every time after Salah, there's somebody giving a maw'idah. Take it easy. It doesn't work this way. You know, it has to be also in the appropriate way, in the appropriate time. But al-maw'idah is so beautiful. As I said, it might, you see something, and you give an advice about it, or you just initiate the maw'idah. Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah came to Harun al-Hammal in the night. Then Harun al-Hammal was so happy to see Imam Ahmad. And he said, welcome, ya Imam. Yani, this is not the time that usually Imam Ahmad would come to visit someone in the night. Then Imam Ahmad told him, today I pass by you while you're teaching, and there is something in my heart. I couldn't go to sleep while I having it in my heart. Then Harun al-Himmal was like concerned. What would be that thing that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah have seen or heard from me this morning that it made him not able to go to sleep? Then he said, I saw you today in the morning. teaching the students, and there are so many of them around you. Most of them were sitting in the sun while you are sitting in the shade. Ya Harun, next time when you teach, sit where most people sitting. And if there are most of them sitting or all of them in the sun, don't be sitting alone in the shade. Sit with them in the sun. When you hear this, okay, it really shows you how much that those imam care about the small, the big, you know, to improve people's character. Sheikhna Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah given advice to a brother. He's not a brother, he's a sheikh, great sheikh, just not a brother. He's a great sheikh, a great da'ya. And this scholar, da'ya, was asked about how, mashallah, he's very effective in da'wah. Then he said, what the thing that benefits you the most in college? He said, upon graduation, in the graduation ceremony, you know, they bring also honorary guests to give a speech. So it was Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah. And he gave us an advice that is the most beneficial advice I learned in 4 years of studying in Kulliya Dawah, in the Kulliya of Dawah. He said to us, make sure that you always leave before people leave you. Yani when you give a talk or khatira or a class, you leave before people leaving. Yani don't stay too long until everybody starts leaving the class. I mean, they are bored. قال دائما انتهي قبل ان ينتهي منك الناس او اذهب قبل ان يذهب عنك الناس. You know, these examples are so many. You know, when you read in the history of the ulama that they used to write to each other, Sufyan al-Thawri wa Ibn Aun, the greatest scholars of Ahl al-Basra, rahimahullah, from Ahl al-Sunnah, وَمَعْقِلْ ابن عُبَيْدِ اللَّهِ الْجَزَرِي. All of them been reported that they said that كان العلماء, when the scholars, when the student of knowledge gather, they will remind each other. And now we talk about people lived in that time of the التابعين, of the successors. And when they are not together, they are in a different countries, in different cities, they used to write to each other. So what is that thing that when they gather, they remind each other of, and when they depart from each other, travel, let's say in Hajj, they see each other, they mention this to each other. Maybe when they go back to their country, they will write letter and would cross rivers and deserts and mountains until it reached that scholar, that letter. What's in that letter? What is that they used to write for each other that is so important? Like this. They said, I'lam, no. Man aslaha sariratahu aslaha Allahu ala niyatahu. If you fix or improve or have a good private life, your public life will be good as well. When you are privately good, you will be publicly good. وَمَنْ أَصْلَحَ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ أَصْلَحَ اللَّهُ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And if you fix what's between you and Allah, your relationship with Allah is excellent, Allah will take care of what your relationship with people. قَالَ وَمَنْ اِهْتَمَّ بِأَمْرِ آخِرَتِهِ كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ أَمْرَ دُنْيَاهُ. And if you focus and you pay attention and put priority to the akhirah, Allah will take care of your worldly affairs. These are the three things that they used to remind each other for. What a great advice, rahimahumullah ta'ala. And yani Al-A'mash in his time wrote a very powerful advice to the people of Kufa. In Al-Kufa, there is a fitna. happen, a dispute, that all most people start killing each other. There's different groups, and it was a very big, you know, dispute reached to the level of a physical violence and a break in a war, split the city. You know what he said to them? I just said the 3 points.
Oh, sorry, Chef. I thought that was only to the group. I got the first and the third one. The second one I missed. I was too busy thinking on the first one.
Okay. So the first one is, the second one is, أصلح ما بينك وبين الله. Fix what between you and Allah. And Allah will fix between you and people. The third one, yeah. Put your priority in al-akhirah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your dunya. As I was saying earlier, in the Kufa, big fitna happened and a split happened. So, you know, Al-A'mash rahimahullah. See, that's the role of the ulama, the role of tulab al-ilm, the student of knowledge. They don't just be quiet, they give the advice. He wrote, rahimallahu mra'an malaka lisana. May Allah have mercy on someone who will control his tongue. Wa kaffa yadah. And control his hand. وعالج ما في صدري. And start healing their hearts. That's what you all need to do right now. So all groups went back to reflect upon this advice of Al-A'mash, rahimahullah, Sulaiman ibn Mahran. And it was said, and that ended that dispute. And no fight, nothing happened after that. No need for any extra talk. Yeah, when you read, yani Ibrahim al-Adham, one of his students, Ibrahim al-Adham is a great avid, ascetic, avid worshiper. Somebody asked him from a distance, give me an advice. He said, عليك بتقوى الله. I advise you to have taqwa of Allah. الذي لا تحمل الذي لا تحل يعني الذي لا تحل معصيته. The one that is not allowed for you to think for a second or to ever think that you can disobey him. ولا يرجى غيره. And the one also that you have no hope in someone other than him. And even if you make a mistake, you know that he is the one that you always seek help from him to protect you from him. Anyway, then يعني, he said, اتق الله, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فإنها عز, it's an honor. وقوة, a strength. وشبع وري, to be sufficient for you, like water and food. قال, يعني, and it will elevate your status in dunya. This person who focused on taqwa, and we'll talk more about that, inshallah ta'ala. My point is, this wasiyah, this advice, is not something strange or something unique to Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah wrote so many wasiyah, so many advices. He sent so many letters. Guess what? To scholars. To student of knowledge, to average Muslims, to kings, rulers, khulafa, umara, Muslims and non-Muslims. Yani one of the letters that you can read, I don't know if it's translated in English or not, it's called Al-Risala Al-Qubrusiyya. The Risala, the letter, the Cyprus letter, the Cyprus, because it was for the king of Cyprus. Was a Christian. And in it, he ended with making dua for that king. And anyway, he wrote letters, rahimahullah ta'ala, and advices to so many people, and people seek that. Imad al-Din al-Wasati, a great scholar, he studied philosophy and ilm al-kalam, and he listened to what the Ash'ari said, the Mu'tazili said, and all this kind of, you know, al-Qadariyya, and he got so confused. And he asked Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, tell me how to solve. I'm confused. Then Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, give him a beautiful advice.
قال عليك بالسنة فإنها الكافية الشافية. I advise you to go back to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the one that will heal your doubts, will remove your doubts, and it will be sufficient for you from all these books that you're reading. And it was the reason for him to change, rahimahullah ta'ala. Why it is called al-wasiyyah al-sughra? Al-wasiyyah al-sughra, he said concise, but al-sughra, al-ulama mentioned it, name it al-sughra, as a minor, to differentiate between this and the one that is longer, maybe the shorter wasiyyah. But there is a longer one. Is this longer one to the same person? No. The longer one, it is al-wasiyyah al-kubra. And I'll be honest, I was thinking about teaching al-wasiyyah al-kubra in this class, but I said, let's start step by step. So definitely it is, if it's available in English, it will be an excellent book to read next. And it's a beautiful book to read. A beautiful letter. It's called al-wasiyyah al-kubra by Shaykh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He sent it to the followers of a very famous sheikh and a very controversial figure as well. His name, Adi ibn Musafir al-Umawi. It was said that he is from Bani Umayyad. It says like his fifth grandfather, the fifth generations from Marwan ibn al-Hakam, the famous Umawi leader. Ibn Taymiyyah said it's impossible to be the fifth grandson. But in any way, it is common that it was said that way. This scholar, Adi ibn Musafir, he moved from, he didn't want the power of the royal family, and he starts seeking knowledge, and he was known more of what? Of ibadah and zuhd and ta'a, and he was loved, and he chose to live among the Kurds in north of Iraq, even though he was born in Damascus and stuff, who is Umawi, but he chose to live among the Kurd. And the Kurd at that time are very ignorant group. Like there's no knowledge, there's, you know, lack of Arabic language. So he went and he lived there, rahimahullah ta'ala. He was born 477 and he died about 555, okay? Some said, yeah, 577, something like that. So the debate about the time when he died, rahimahullah ta'ala. He lived about 90 years in general. Anyway, going back to the topic, to what we're saying. So Adi ibn Musafir, this guy, this imam, rahimahullah, lived in Accra, and he had a lot of followers. Today, the Yazidis, the famous deviant satanic worshippers, they claim that they are followers of Adi, by the way. And Adi became a legend, and his followers were known for being an extreme love for him, have extreme love for him, and they are so dedicated to him. They loved him so much, they honored him so much. And by the way, he spread sunnah among them. Okay? He spread sunnah among them, rahimahullah. He has a book, which is a published book by a great scholar from Iraq, his name Hamdi Salafi. He died, rahimahullah ta'ala. It's called I'tiqadu Ahl Sunnah Al Jama'ah, the Aqid of Ahl Sunnah Al Jama'ah. And Ibn Taymiyyah quoted a lot from his book as well. And many other mention his book. He's a great imam. Yani, this is not the time for it. If we teach the book, I'll talk more about him. But I'm sharing this because to show you that this advice was to the follower of Adi, and it focused on different areas. Rahimahullah ta'ala. He talked about the quality of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. What are their qualities? Al-ittiba' and moderation. Al-wasatiyah. He talked about certain issues related to رؤية الله عز وجل, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's a problem that appeared in that part of the world at that time. Also, he talked a lot about usul al-dalal, the reason why people go deviant or be misled or misguided or deviate, like following the fabricated narrations, al-ghulu, being extreme in al-salihin. And he had written a beautiful, beautiful advice in regard to how to deal with the shuyukh, the leaders, the madahib, the school that you belong to, and what is allowed and what's not allowed in regard to this area. He talked about what this unity means, what this unity means, what al-jama'ah means, and also what is wali al-wilayah and being a saint or being a righteous person means. There is beautiful talk. It has points that is Ibn Taymiyyah repeat a lot because the book that we have is a collection of different letters to different people. So there is a lot of repetition. But what he said in that letter, the major wasiyah, is something very unique, very rarely to find it in other letter of his. And anyway, maybe we put it as a candidate, inshallah, for the next one. But today, we would like to start with the first one, which is, or this minor one, or short one, which is known as a wasiyah al-sughra. There is somebody wrote something in the chat. He said, father of Mut'im. I don't know what that is. There is a group called Al-Adawiyyin, Al-Yazidiyyin. Al-Yazidiyyin, because one of the things that he spread in Iraq, because as you know, Iraq, there's a lot of Shia, a lot of bad talk about Yazid. So it was said that he defended Yazid ibn Muawiyah, and he spread positive things about the Umayyads in general, because they used to call them Yazidis. And so people who hated Adi's work and his defense of the Umayyads call his followers Yazidis. And it became later on, a name for them and developed. SubhanAllah, he entered the Kurds into Islam through the gate of Sunnah. But generation later on, the follower of they're not true followers, but those who claim to be a follower of him, generations down on the road, took those people out of Islam from the gate of Sufism, because they were extreme Sufis, and their Sufism reached to a level that take them out of the fold of Islam, and they're not even Sufi anymore. But that's another story in another day, inshallah ta'ala. Let's read, so at least we start something from the book today. And as we did before, we're just gonna be reading and commenting as it's needed. Rahimahullah ta'ala. Now.
Reading from the question, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The question, Abu al-Asim al-Qasim bin Yusuf bin Muhammad al-Tajibi.
So I'm not sure if Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim part of the original text. Okay. I'm a little bit, in books, we are very, we look carefully to everything it said, not to said. So I don't think it is part of the original text. But maybe the one who published the book just start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim for the barakah of it. Yes.
Abu al-Asim al-Qasim bin Yusuf bin Muhammad al-Tajibi al-Sabti al-Maghribi says, I requested our leader, the Sheikh Faqih Imam, respected scholar, vanguard of...
Hold on. Sorry. Just after every sentence, I'm going to ask you, so be patient with me. Abu al-Qasim, his name Alamuddin al-Qasim, also Ibn Yusuf, the son of Yusuf, Ibn Muhammad al-Tajibi. And when we say al-Tajibi, because Tajib, al-Tujibi, not al-Tajibi, al-Tujibi, al-Tujibi with Dhamma. Tujib is a name of a woman. Tujib bintu Thawban. She is a famous woman from Madhaj, which is one of the Arabic tribes that migrated from Arabia to Al-Andalus and settled in Al-Andalus. So this Imam, who was born 660 in Valencia, in Andalus, Spain today, he lived there, and he was a very well-known scholar. And one of the things that was so recognized about him is that he was a historian. He met so many people. He wrote a book about his journey, that it is called Rihla, his journey, that Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, was amazed by. He said, this book is amazing, and it's three volumes. It's a very big one. And in it, he documented all the things that you have witnessed, seen, met, and so forth. And he, rahimahullah, his writing for the history is so unique because he was himself a poet, a very eloquent, a very excellent writer. And not only that, he had a beautiful, outstanding handwriting. His handwriting was beautiful. His calligraphy is beautiful. In that time, any scholar who writes very well, he knows how to write well, and his handwriting is beautiful, immediately have an advantage, and that's a skill that rulers like. So a sultan at that time, he loved him, he respected him, he honored him, he supported him. The imam wrote a book for the sultan as a gift. And it's interesting, what's the topic you think he would write for a ruler? He collected for him a 40 hadith from the best hadith that he heard and related to al-jihad fi sabilillah and the virtue of al-jihad fi sabilillah. Anyway, he died, rahimahullah, in Sutta in 730. So he lived about 70 years. And he went for, he memorized the Quran, the Tinqira'ah. He studied ilm al-hadith, and he was good at it, as al-Dhahabi rahimahullah said about him. And he traveled for Hajj, and when he went to Hajj, he started traveling to collect ilm and knowledge. He went to Egypt, and he studied in Egypt with great scholars, the most famous Shafi'i scholars, Ibn Daqiq al-Eid rahimahullah, and also the famous Muhaddith Ibn Asakir. And he even narrated from Ibn Asakir, Muwatta Malik, not the whole book of Muwatta, but most of it, a few chapter he was missing, in a very, very high isnad, yani very short isnad, very high, close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Speaking of high isnad, yesterday, or before yesterday, Sheikh al-Kittani, rahimahullah, passed away, and he is in the North Africa, from North Africa, and he has the highest isnad and hadith in the Muslim world today. Rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in 100 years plus of age, rahimahullah. And anyway, so this imam, he met Ibn Asakir, rahimahullah, when in his mid-30s or at the end of his 30s. And also he met Ibn Asakir, Ibn Daqiq al-Eid, and obviously he met also Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala. He read many books with those ulama, with those imams, and collected ahadith. They call him the great noble muhaddith. Why I am telling you all this, okay, why I'm like putting some like emphasis on this issue. So you will know the value of what he's going to say right now about Ibn Taymiyyah. And also to see a man of that caliber asking what kind of advice. Okay. You might say, yeah, Sheikh Waleed, but doesn't mean he was in that caliber when he asked for advice. Oh, but he was in his mid-30s. And he was not just a teenager kid. He was still a student knowledge, a very high caliber of ad. So let's see. And definitely he was a alim at that time. And if some of you can tell me where we can get that he is a alim by that time. He met so many, he's a scholar by that time. He's very respected student of knowledge in his time. And you will know this from what he's gonna say right now. Go ahead, I requested
our leader, the Sheikh, Faqih, Imam, respected scholar, vanguard of the predecessors, leader of the later generations, river of the deen, expresser of rare and wonderful ideas with great eloquence and literacy, the most knowledgeable person I have met in the lands of the East and West, Taqiyuddin Abul Abbas Ahmad bin Taymiyyah, may Allah enable us to continue benefiting from him, to advise me.
Hold on. So he said he described him, rahimahullah ta'ala, with very interesting descriptions. But the one that he's saying, this scholar who met many scholars in the East and the West, that Ibn Taymiyyah is the most knowledgeable person that he ever met. And he said, Qudwatul Khalaf, a role model for the later generation. I'm comparing between the English and the Arabic, okay? In the Arabic, it says, the vanguard of the predecessors, wa baqiyatu salaf. Yani he is the one represents, resemble what's left from the predecessors, from the early generations. Some people are true representative of the early generation. I heard Sheikh Abdul Razzaq Afifi rahimahullah said something very interesting about Sheikh bin Baz. He said, bin Baz, ask him, what do you think, Sheikh bin Baz? His tears start coming down. And that's something I know of and I witness it as well. I know it happened before and I tried it and it worked. Because I heard that he cry when he talks about bin Baz. So I ask him, his tears start coming down. And he told us in his house, rahimahullah, قال bin Baz, that a man who doesn't belong to this century. Bin Baz is a man belong to the first early three generations. Yeah, and he belongs to the early generation, to the Salaf, to the Sahaba time, Tabi'in time, Atba'at Tabi'in time, and this area. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him from that time and kept him, saved him until our time to make him come to our time, to make him exist in our time. So we can see with our eyes something represents that generations. And that's what this Imam Abu al-Qasim rahimahullah saying about Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah when he said, baqiyatu salaf, what remain from that predecessor. And I think that's more powerful than just reading vanguard of the predecessor. I don't know where he got that vanguard from. Isn't vanguard means the protector or something like that? Isn't it? Hello?
Yes, Sadashay, that's what it means, yeah.
Yeah, but he said baqiyatu salaf, the remaining one from a salaf. Anyway, maybe it's a different copy, I don't know, they used. Then he said, according to the copy that you guys have, the one I have, it doesn't have all this. Leader of the later generations, revival of the deen, expresser of the rare and wonderful idea with a great eloquence and literacy. Most knowledgeable person I have met. That's exist. Most knowledgeable person I have met. But all the other ones that basically these descriptions of him, rahimahullah ta'ala, I'm not sure if it is a different copy that the one that I have, or something else.
Sheikh Sulaiman Rahili does not have that, Sheikh. There's two copies. Sheikh Sulaiman Rahili, that does not have the same descriptions.
Yeah, yeah. I have also my own copy, and it doesn't have that description. So that's one of the things that some people just added and very lenient with the translations, which is not an honest way of translating. But anyway, we have to look into the introduction as if they have other copy different than the copy that we have. Anyway, so he said, he asked Sheikh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, questions or to basically, he said, I have met the land, Abu al-Abbas rahimahullah. He requested him, to advise me. Yes, that's where we stand. Okay, go ahead. Bismillah.
To advise me towards what would set right my affairs concerning deen, religion, and dunya, worldly matters. To point me towards those books which I may rely upon regarding knowledge of hadith and other sciences of the Sharia, to draw my attention towards the best of righteous actions after the compulsory duties, to explain to me those qualities and skills attaining which should outweigh all my other aims. All of this by way of concise guidelines. May Allah safeguard him, and peace, and Allah's blessings be on him.
So he asked him, rahimahullah, for a wasiyya, for an advice. I wish that they named the book the advice or the wasiyya, or the reminder. So he asked from him three things, or four things. Number one, he said something that it will basically set right my affair concerning deen and dunya. شَيْ يُصْلِحْ دِينِ وَدُنْيَاي. Something will help my deen and dunya. That's interesting. So he's not only for the deen, for the dunya as well. Also, a book that I can rely on in ilm al-hadith or other fields of knowledge that he will recommend for me. Okay? And also, he wants him to tell him about what is the best of deeds, afdal a'mal, after the obligations. Yani what Ibn Taymiyyah think is the best of deeds that I can do, he advise us to do after fulfilling the obligations. And arbahul makasib. What is the thing that if I gain will be considered, okay, the most valuable thing that I ever can gain in this dunya. وَيُبَيِّنُ لِي أَرْجَحَ الْمَكَاسِبِ. He translated in a kind of interesting way. He said, explain to me those qualities and skills attaining which should outweigh all my other aims. I don't know what that means. But what I know, the Arabic one is أَرْجَحُ الْمَكَاسِبِ. And makasib, it means the thing that you will earn in this dunya. That's why maksab, it means profit, earn, something that you earn and you profit and you gain. So what's the thing that it will be the most profitable thing that I ever can gain in this dunya? Okay. What's the most profitable thing that I ever can earn or gain in this dunya? And I want this to be what? Concise. Short. And al-ima', al-ima', it means al-ima', it means hints. You don't need to explain. Just give me the guidelines. Guidelines are beautiful. And I don't know what it means. The details I don't need. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him. Wassalamu. الكريم عليه ورحمة الله وبركاته. And he said, and the translation is, may Allah safeguard him. No, he said, and may As-Salam, which is Allah's name, and Al-Kareem, Allah's name, to be upon him. Yani, it is another word, may the name As-Salam and the name Al-Kareem bless you. May you be blessed by the name As-Salam and Al-Kareem. And what As-Salam? Perfection. What Al-Kareem? Perfect. Al-Kareem, it means the perfect one. As-Salam is the one perfect, have no nothing missing, nothing is wrong on him. Perfect. So be upon him, and the mercy of Allah, and the blessing of Allah too. It's like when you say As-Salamu Alaikum, yani Allah's name, As-Salam, be upon you. That's one of the meaning of the word As-Salamu Alaikum. Yani I ask that, and the name of As-Salam to be upon you, to bless you, or to get from it what it meant for, which is Allah's name, As-Salam, which is the source of all salama, safety, tranquility, peaceful perfections, and so forth. He asked it to be short. Why? Because it's a reminder. And reminder must be short, not to be long, like what we're doing right now. So we'll stop here before we start with what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said. And inshallah, next week, it will be easier because we don't need to do all these introductions about the concept and the topic and the individuals. We'll go straight to that. To the meat, inshallah ta'ala. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And if somebody has a question or comment, tawbah.
Sheikh, I have one question about the hadith that you shared right in the start, Adin wa Nasiha. The follow up from that hadith, where the Sahaba asked, Qulna liman. Liman means on what?
So,
to the way we've always heard the translation of adin wa nasiha is din is advice, but from the follow-up of the hadith, it's the things that are said is Allah and the book and the prophets. So is it sincerity or is it advice?
No, al-nasiha is one word that used in different ways. So al-nasiha is a very, it's like the word at-taqwa. The taqwa has many different meanings based on the context. So that's why when they said al-nasiha, you will think al-nasiha means advice. But you said, no, it is al-nasiha to Allah. So I know that's not advice. So what al-nasiha here means is to be basically sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to be sincere in the worship of Allah. So what about al-nasiha to his messenger? It means to be sincere in your following. To the Quran is to basically to be accepting the advice of the Quran, to accept the Quran to be your guidance. But what about a'immat al-muslimin wa ammatihim, the leader of the Muslim? It means is to not to break the unity of the Muslims, not to go against the rulers, as long as they are Muslims and they are keeping the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also as long as it doesn't lead to a chaos and a disturbing, but also it means advising them, reminding them, making dua for them, but for the Muslimin in general is by advising, by being sincere in dealing with them, by being honest with them, by being cooperating with them, by loving them, by establishing brotherhood. So the word al-nasiha, it's a very general meaning here, could mean ad-deen, the religion. And I know this translation, advice, is a very doesn't give justice to the translation. Okay? And that's common. Yani even sometimes in Arabic. I give you another example that is very, very common, even though almost, not every, but almost, the early generations understood something, and the people later on, especially in these days, have a complete different use for it, which is the verse in the Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. What that means?
That he created him with the best of manners?
وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Have you heard this verse before?
Yes.
Always refer to khuluq, which it means good manners. You possess, you have the best of manners. That's right. That's usually how the translation is. Do you guys agree with me?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
There are 16 people on this call. So do you guys agree with me? You can unmute and say yes now. So I feel at least there is.
Yeah, that's how it's normally translated.
Yes. But if you look at the Mufassirin among the early generations, you'll say, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَى دِينٍ عَظِيمٍ. You're upon the best of religion, but not about mannerism. So, but the word khuluq, manners, actually it can be a very big word, big meaning, that means equal to the word religion. You follow? So the whole religion is manners. Because it's the manners of dealing with Allah, the manners of dealing with the Quran, the manners of dealing with the Prophet, the manner of dealing with the Sunnah, the manner of dealing with the rules, the manners with dealing with people. What's all the Sharia? So some words can be very big in the meaning that it carries. And the word khuluq, the word taqwa, the word nasiha is one of them. Yes. Anybody else? The other interpretation for this verse, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, is يعني your practice, ya Muhammad, of the religion is عظيم, is great. The first one, which is the most common, is that the religion that you practice is great. So great, عظيم, is a description to the religion. Some said, no, it's a description to the practice of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Anybody else has a question or a comment? Inshallah, looking forward. I hope you guys are excited about it, because I am definitely excited about the book. And looking forward, inshallah ta'ala, to read it, hopefully, inshallah, in we finish it soon, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير شيخ.